Once upon a time, owning a newspaper was considered having a license to print money. That was before the internet put all the news outlets out there for free, and before all the revenue from classified advertising left for Craigslist. Now, even newspapers that aren't really supposed to make money are having a tough time, too. Case in point, the Siskiyou, for most of a century, the student newspaper at Southern Oregon University. It went online only a few years ago, and now it faces a more existential crisis. Two guests from the student side join us here on The Exchange in this portion. Eli Stillman is the editor-in-chief, about to graduate. Eli, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me.
And Hannah Jones is here as well. She's a staff writer for the Siskiyou and a junior at SOU. Good to have you here. I was just doing the math in my head. I guess if the Siskiyou's been around for 90 years, this newspaper began at the very time that what was Southern Oregon Normal School opened up for good in 1926, because it had been out for a bunch of years.
Yeah, that's what it seems like, as far as we can go back, just from the archives in the library.
Any records kept about when it had its greatest paper circulation and its largest staff? I mean, what were the golden years of the Siskiyou, as far as you can tell, Eli?
Oh, a lot of it seems to kind of be myth or whatever the other writers are calling in and telling me, but I'm told that in 2000-2001 there was like 27 writers on staff. There were people selling ads. There was really competitive to get in. Everyone was trying to submit their stuff and work hard for stories and things like that.
That's a pretty good size staff.
Yeah, that's writers. Huge. I heard that last week and I couldn't believe it.
Compared to what today? What's your staff like today?
7 or 8 in the room usually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, what, so, term.
So there is no journalism major at Southern Oregon University at this moment, is that right?
No, the journalism major was dropped a couple of years ago, I believe, so that's been a lot harder for us to recruit kids to write for the paper because of that. Since then, the university has offered different concentrations to try and counteract that and still promote journalism, but it's been on a slow decline, so it's been really tough to get those kids still motivated about journalism to write papers.
So what do you major in, Hannah, for example?
I am communications with a concentration in social media and public engagement. I'm pretty sure it's that one. And then there's communication studies.
Digital cinema.
And digital cinema.
So what is your major?
So mine still is film, television, convergent media, which was rearranged this last year. Since I came in the year before Hannah and I declared as film, TV, convergent media when there was that and communication studies, I will stick with that since I'm graduating. But if I were to be here for the next year, I probably would have switched over to the social media public engagement as well.
Okay. So it sounds like it's confusing even within a four-year run.
It totally is. And there is even one student who's in our class. He's been our longest writer there, and he still is a journalism major because he came in, I believe, in 2011 and was the last person to declare as it. So for him getting his capstone set up, they had to like rearrange some things and make a special curriculum for him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it sounds like there's not a great deal of interest in I mean, if you have, maybe 7 or 8 people in the room at a time, not like it was back in the heyday.
And yeah, it's been different with it. Switching to a class, there have been issues before about people not being able to take it for a couple times for more credits. So then they think, well, why am I paying for this class if it's not working towards my degree? There have been other issues with people who just want to be comm studies and they think this won't help me. So we're trying to make it as likable for people.
Expand it to other majors. I mean, I learned a lot, not just about journalism. It gets you asking questions and thinking about other things, thinking about what's going on. And so I think we're trying to really expand it to kids studying other things and show them the importance of it, that it can really help you in the future.
That it helps you examine the world around you.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. So let's talk about the structure, though, because we're a little unclear on this, because it sounds like at one point it was just sort of something you did in your spare time, but you got course credit for it, too. But now it's strictly done as a class?
Yeah. So the way that I've been told since Hannah got here this last year and I got here 2 years ago, we've only known it as the online class. But what we've found is that so it used to be a club like a lot of school papers are. It's a separate entity run with by a teacher, full-time faculty member who volunteers to take over. And what they do is they have the set meeting time and everything like that, just like we do. But because we did have the journalism program, we had all these students who wanted to be published everyone vying for a spot in this paper, it was its own separate entity, and it was able just to run within that. There was someone who wanted to sell advertisement. There was someone who wanted to take over managing editor, sports editor, photographer, things like that. So what happened then was when the journalism program was cut, the teachers who were teaching that left. Fewer and fewer students were interested in studying journalism. It was only a club, but with, I think, like four people or something like that. Like, no one really kind of showed up. The page stayed stagnant for a while. So that's when they said, okay, we need to keep it going. So they made it a class. So then thinking that it would be more favorable for kids to take it and earn credits, they'd be more motivated to do that.
As opposed to earning nothing.
We believe there was freelance money maybe back then. I'm not positive.
Okay. We're talking to the editor of the SISCU at Southern Oregon University and one of the staff writers. Eli Stillman is the editor-in-chief. Hannah Jones is the staff writer. The SISCU is on the chopping block at SOU for reasons we'll get into in just a moment. You can join us here on the Jefferson Exchange if you have observations about the state of journalism generally or this situation specifically. 800-838-3760 is our phone number. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So what has happened recently? The university has said, in essence, it's not going to be a class anymore?
So, yeah, recently they came in, Alina Ruggiero and Eric Palmer, and they told us that it was low enrollment, which we had kind of figured we could not get a lot of kids to sign up. From what I'm told, we needed at least 10 kids per term in order for it to be worth it for the university to keep the class around, and we only had about 8, maybe. And so they were going to cut the class, and they told us that the easiest way to survive was to become a club. So that's what we're on track to do right now. We've started fundraising some money through GoFundMe to try and get us started. We would like to bring back the structure of having an editor paid, of having a freelance writers paid. So we're still working on that with different people within ASSOU. But that is our plan. They said it was the easiest way, so that's kind of what we're going for.
Yeah. Also, a huge shout out to ASSOU. They've been
Associated
Students at the University.
Yeah, they've been when we put the GoFundMe up, Tori, our school president, was one of the first people to contribute money, and we've been back and forth with the finance people helping us with budget, vice president, president, all of them. Just they really believe that we need a school paper, and they're trying to help.
They've all been extremely helpful,
whatever way they can to help us get it set up.
All right. So what are the steps then? I mean, are you concerned that things are not going to happen? Do you have to get a certain number of dollars in hand to be able to make this work?
For funding later down the road, you do need a certain percentage. But with our GoFundMe, we think that'll be obtainable. The main thing is getting students signed up now. So it's also a little tricky because I'm leaving, like I said, our journalism major guy is leaving. We got a couple others who are taking off, and so we're trying to get people interested, but explaining to them that we're still in the process of switching over from a club is proving a little challenging in that they're like, how can we sign up for this and be on board if we don't really know what's going on with it? So that's been a little bit of the problem now, but I still have faith that we'll be able to get the number of students, which I believe is 9.
That's the number you need?
Just the signatures to show that there's people interested and a full-time advisor who would like to oversee the course.
There have been some obstacles, I understand, because I understand from some of the other stuff I've read getting ready for this discussion that you were trying to get people were trying to get into the class to be able to work for the SISCU had prerequisites they had to get, but the prerequisites weren't available or something.
Yeah, so there was an issue. Kids were signing up to get a prerequisite. They were signing up for the class, and it required them this prereq that wasn't offered or really wasn't required at all, and the system was telling them that they needed it, so they would have to go get an add drop slip, track down a professor, Julie Akins, who's on campus maybe once a week, and get her to sign that, turn it back into enrollment offices. And by the time they would do that and jump through all the loops, a lot of them would just give up and never sign up, and we would therefore have low enrollment. So we figured that's a huge issue, and if that would have been fixed, then possibly we would have had the kids in the class. It was just hard to get kids to go on this wild goose chase to try and sign up for a class that didn't even need any prereqs.
You had that problem yourself, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
With two classes of Julie's, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And it's been a bummer. There, we're also told that there have been four schedulers, I believe, four different people for the same job in the last year and a half. That's what I've been told. So I think that could happen from, you know, just someone make a mistake somewhere here and there. But it's definitely affected our course enrollment.
All right. So, Eli, you're about to graduate, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
So were you,
couple more
were you
months.
Concerned this isn't going to be finished playing out by the time that, I mean, does it have to be settled by the time that people are signing up for courses for next year? It seems like that would kind of need to happen, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we're trying to get it going, like I said, as fast as possible. But I have full faith that we can reach whichever form before I'm gone and have it established by then.
Okay. So how optimistic are either of you at this point that, something's going to work out?
I mean, I'll be here next year, I'm very optimistic. I need it to work. I want it to work. This is what I want to do. I want to be a journalist. And I know I'll be all right. I'm going to start writing for the Tidings. And even if it didn't work out, I would be fine. But I really want to give other students the opportunity to come in and be able to write and discover if they do have a love for journalism. And I really want to spread that throughout the university and keep that going. So I'm extremely optimistic that it will work, that we can pull it off.
All right, so both of you certainly have an interest in journalism, but you came to a campus where I believe even when you started, Eli, there wasn't even a journalism major.
It wasn't
right?
The major, no.
Right. Did you just start to like journalism once you were here? I mean, how did it work out for you?
It was a couple different things. I was kind of interested in writing, but never really thought about the newspaper form. And then I actually took the class with sports reporting with George Dorman, great, great writer. And that just really got me motivated in reading other articles, writing my own. I figured I read a bunch of articles I could try it myself, got involved in the SISCU for the first time, and then it just all took off from there. Just really fell in love with it. And after I graduate, I'm going off into a full-time position where I will be a journalist in another town.
Where's that going to be?
It's going to be in Astoria, Oregon, through the Snowden internship program.
Mm-hmm. And then what might happen after that?
I'm not sure. It's a 10-week period, and a lot of interns do get positions in Oregon newspapers afterwards. It's a pretty tight-knit between all the editors, which will be interesting, and I'm basically ready to head off wherever I can go, really.
And Hannah, you want to go into journalism too, you're saying, but you also came to a school even more recently that, mm-hmm. that didn't have a journalism program.
I did. I came here with vague notion that I might want to go into that, and then after one term in the SISCU, I thought, oh my gosh, this is definitely what I need to do. I love writing. I love learning about other people's experiences through that writing, and so it definitely kind of just hit me one day, and I'm like, yep, I figured it out. And it was a little unfortunate that I did come to a school without a journalism major, but it's something that I think I can definitely work around with communications, and if we can keep SISCU going, then I don't see it being a problem.
And I think that's the biggest thing for both of us, just not originally knowing that's what we wanted to, but just becoming inspired to do journalism just through this one course. I mean, to see it go away for that missed opportunity for kids who are younger than us, coming in after us, that might get us a slight interest like we did and just want to take off if they don't have that opportunity, I think that's really what will be missing.
Somebody must be saying to you, though, given the state of journalism in the world today, who cares? Who cares about a student paper? You must be getting this back in your faces, and I'm curious to know what the response is.
We get that a lot. Like, you're just kind of used to it. Like, you say you want to be a writer, and people are originally like, all right, sweet, have fun with that. Let me know how it goes.
Newspapers are dying.
Yeah, have fun with that. But I don't know. Even with the school paper, I was like, when I first started, I was like, yeah, I'm editor-in-chief of the paper. And my friend's like, oh, we have a paper? Sweet. Like, you know, you just kind of get used to these things, but that's kind of what makes that challenges you and makes you want to go out even more and write a great story or find out something.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, every university has a newspaper, I think.
At least they should, important. Yeah.
At least they should, exactly. So even if nobody really reads it, it's where our journalists start their practice. And
exactly.
That's, who knows, maybe it's the New York Times next. We don't
yeah, and something else that was crazy, I don't know if you saw, we with the SISCU going out, we reached out to some old writers. We had Grant Brisby, who's a San Francisco Giants reporter now. Mm-hmm. He first started at the SISCU.
Yes.
And I got a call from London the other day in the morning from a former editor who was like, we need to get this saved. What can we do? All these old writers are reaching out because it was so important to them. You know, you remember where you first saw your name in print. You remember your first story, things like that. And yeah, that needs to keep happening for kids here at Southern Oregon.
All right. Best of luck with the efforts to keep the SISCU going. We're going to do a little hot switch now and get the university representation in here as well. I want to thank Eli Stillman and Hannah Jones, editor-in-chief and one of the staff writers from the SISCU, for joining us on this segment. Good to see you both here in the studio.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So just to recap where we are going, this is about the SISCU, which is the student newspaper at Southern Oregon University, where there's been an issue with the students have to take a class in order to be able to work at the SISCU, and so the class is being dropped, which probably will lead to the newspaper being turned into a club rather than just being a regular activity that is a part of the campus structure. So that's where we are. We have just been talking to Eli Stillman and Hannah Jones. Now we bring in Alina Ruggiero, who is the SOU Department of Communication Chair and has some administration perspective on this. Alina, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Jeffrey.
So tell us about what motivated the university to make the choices in the first place.
Well, one of the things that didn't motivate us was any walking away from our commitment to journalism. The two students that we just heard from, we echo the passion that they have and that the community has for journalism. In fact, Eli and Hannah were both finalists for the Snowden internship. That was a statewide competition that they were recognized for, and
which
we
Eli
support
got.
That. Yeah, Eli is going to be working at the Astoria in the summer. So we definitely want to continue supporting that. We just have to find a structure that is the best way to make that happen. The story that they told is correct, that the SISCU used to be a club that was supervised by a faculty member who was full-time, and the funding for the club was cut by the students, and the faculty are no longer at Southern Oregon University. And so in an attempt to keep the SISCU alive, we converted it into a class. But there are several problems with offering it as a course. Number one, in the current budget situation that we're facing at the university, it's not a good idea to offer a lot of courses that enroll fewer than 10 students. And so, unfortunately, the SISCU course has a history of low enrollments. And the problem with that is that it's a newspaper that's supposed to be an ongoing activity every term for the students. And yet, every 3 months, because of the enrollment question, it's on the chopping block. And that doesn't give stability to the students. That doesn't give stability to the faculty who is teaching that course. And then students have to pay tuition in order to participate. And who's going to pay tuition to write for the paper unless it works for their major? And so then we're getting only a handful of not just only communication majors, but a certain segment of communication majors who are focusing in journalism. So we want to be able to open it up to everybody across campus who might have interest in working for the paper.
So there are no prerequisites involved, no course requirements, that sort of thing. So anybody who wants to work on the SISCU
as a club,
yeah.
Right. And it's not that we're entirely severing our relationship with that club. SOU is absolutely still committed to giving them office space to meet. We'll give them computer hardware. We'll give them software. We'll offer our servers. We'll give them a faculty advisor. And one of the things that we haven't even talked to them about yet is that we're exploring opportunities through the university to be able to pay their student editor so that they don't have to fundraise to be able to do that. So the idea that the SISCU is on the chopping block or that the SISCU needs saved is inaccurate.
Really? It's not existential at all. I mean, there's going to be a SISCU is what you're saying. You're guaranteeing there's going to be a SISCU.
If they have 7 students who are willing to incorporate as a club, they could do that today.
They don't have 7 students today, though?
I don't know. You'd have to ask them. Mm-hmm. They've got 8 students in the class alone. So, and I know that they've been actively recruiting and are getting. The nice thing about this situation is that all of a sudden, people who have passion for journalism are starting to speak up. So I don't think they'll have any problem finding at least 7 students to be able to sign up for the club.
Okay. This is starting to sound like a Marx Brothers movie, I know, but we have an additional guest who's joined us in the past few minutes. Greg Jones is the director of the Division of Business, Communication, and the Environment at Southern Oregon University. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Jones. What kind of support can the university give to the Siskiyou, whether it's a course or whether it's a club? I mean, what sort of facilities does it get? What sort of machinery does it get? That sort of thing.
Well, I think Lena has specified it pretty correctly. We basically want to facilitate what the students are being engaged in. So I think the students are doing what they need to do. They need to be passionate about their career, whether it is in online or print journalism, and pursue that. You know, if you look at the framework of student newspapers across the country, the vast majority of them are all club-based or student-run. They're not run by the university. And so we need to let the students kind of carry the torch here and give them every opportunity that they can to succeed with that. When we picked this up as a course, that was a very unique situation. And I think it ran its course. Now we have to figure out how to best facilitate that. And as Lena mentioned, we are looking into a position that we can help them with. But students still need to be the ones to carry the torch here.
So will the university be able to provide a paid faculty advisor or at least a part-time faculty advisor? I mean, not that would be the only duties of this person.
Right, right. We will definitely have a faculty advisor for the Siskiyou, there's no doubt. But again, we still need the students to be the ones to pick this up. This is their process, and they need to represent it accordingly.
So Lena Ruggiero, what I hear you saying is it doesn't matter the dollars. The GoFundMe campaign is sort of superfluous. It's just that they have seven students, they get their club.
Not only is the GoFundMe campaign potentially superfluous, it's also a little bit problematic in the sense that independent fundraising to be funneled into paying a student at a state institution, there's some problems with that we're still trying to work out coordinating with the SOU Foundation. I think what you see are students and community members who are really passionate and want to do whatever that they can, but I don't know that the GoFundMe campaign is the way to do it. We hope we'll be able to get the student editor paid through the university.
Okay, I have a couple more questions for you. I want to pick those up on the other side of a break, so we'll continue with this discussion about the Siskiyou, the fate of the student newspaper at Southern Oregon University. At this point, we have Lena Ruggiero and Greg Jones in the chairs in the studio. We have already talked to Eli Stillman and Hannah Jones. We'll come back and talk, no relation, I hope. When we come back, we'll talk more about the fate of the Siskiyou when we come back to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 10. ...836 on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're continuing a discussion here about the fate of the student newspaper at Southern Oregon University, which the students depict as being in possible threat of extinction, with the administration says, no, that's not quite the case. We have heard from Eli Stillman and Hannah Jones on the student staff. We're hearing now from Lena Ruggiero and Greg Jones. Lena is the department chair for communications at the university. Greg Jones is director of the Division of Business Communication and the Environment. You can join this discussion, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Greg, a couple of things have happened in recent years that probably need to be brought into context here. Was the decision to turn the Siskiyou into a course that students had to take for credit, was that done before the university system changed and the campuses essentially became autonomous?
Sure. The conversion to a course happened much before that. What was the year, Alina?
It was several years ago, before both of our times in our offices.
Yeah. So in the past year and a half, 2 years, we've gone into a retrenchment process predicated by issues of financial concern. And so we're held to metrics by the state that are very important for us to be a very viable regional university. And one of those metrics is to look at low-enrolled courses, whether it's the Siskiyou or any other course. They're all treated the same. So our decision to look at the Siskiyou was really just one of many concerns that we have relative to retrenchment.
So what is the sweet spot for faculty to student ratio? Because if you sell yourself as you do as a university where you don't have to compete with as much attention for your professors, with other students for your professors' attention, And yet, you know, when you get a course that's down to eight people, that's not enough to keep a course going.
Well, we have different metrics for the type of course that we might be offering. But the basics are is that we like to keep our courses lower than, say, 25 students per faculty member. But we often do have courses that get down maybe 15, 12, something like that. Our magic number typically we shoot for 10 because that is a viable course from a student and faculty and SOU perspective.
Okay, so go ahead, Lena.
I'd also like to say that we teach journalism skills in all kinds of courses within the Department of Communication. So COM378, the SISCU course, is not the only place where students can gain these skills and practice these skills. And a lot of those courses that we offer that translate journalism skills into the digital idiom for the modern milieu, those courses do make at the 10 student sweet spot.
All right. So what you're saying here is that if seven students come forward, no other financial requirement, just as long as seven students are willing to be part of this club, the SISCU will continue as a club.
Yeah. The focus on money is that they want to be able to pay their student editor and they want to be able to pay their student reporters. And I can understand that. We're going to try to at least do something for the editor.
All right. We will see where it goes from here. Alina Ruggiero is the communication chair for Southern Oregon University. Greg Jones, director of the Division of Business Communication and the Environment. So from what we're hearing now, there's a future for the SISCU as long as there are seven students around to do it. Thank you both for joining us today. I want to thank Eli Stillman and Hannah Jones for joining us earlier.